Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Star Sound Speaks. This is your host, Irliana Samsara of Star Sound Astrology. We have Andrea Michelle back with us, and we're going to be talking on this episode about the lunar nodes shifting into the signs of Aries and Libra. For those of you who are new to the channel, welcome. And if you've not seen previous episodes with Andrea, definitely tune in. We did an awesome one at eclipse season, both of those, which of course are resonating for the next year and a half. So much richness here. So I invite you to take a look at that. Andrea is a visionary, soul-centered astrologer. Is that how I would describe your work?
Sure. I like the visionary part. That's a nice little bonus.
Yeah, that just flew into my third eye. Visionary. Yeah. All right.
AndreaMichelleHeckel.com is my new website.
Okay. And I'll put the link down below so you can grab that.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, we're going to be having our nodal shift is coming up after a year and a half of being in Taurus and Scorpio. And it is going to be on Monday, July 17th. It'll go from 0 degrees of Taurus, nodes move backwards, 29 degrees, 59 minutes. Really outrageous implications, of course, for the world, but certainly for the United States. So I was just telling Andrea, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like a big kid at like kindergarten show and tell, like, look what I found for the United States. So this is a hugely pivotal conversation for the United States. If I could start, Andrea, and just say that, you know, of course, the big deal about this particular ingress, you know, every 18.6 years, the nodes will come back to this sign, right? So the last time it was in Aries, and North Node in Aries, South Node in Libra was December of 2004 till June of 2006. So that means that part of your chart that's getting activated is going to have, it'll be resonance here. The fascinating thing about this particular, I think the one where we're all so on our seat is because Pluto is going to be squaring the nodes. That's like number one on my list, right? That's huge. We'll talk more. We'll get in depth with that. About that. And then number two, in terms of the United States, the USA is, we are in our Chiron return, Chiron, the wounded healer, or I love how you described it, Andrea, like the sacred wound. You know, we look at this in a very, very highly evolved sacred manner. And then number three, Eris, the goddess of discourse, has a seat. She has been archetypally the uninvited guest. Well, guess what? The uninvited guest invited herself to this party. I'm getting chills as we're talking about this. All of this happens 90 minutes after the new moon at 24 Cancer, which in the United States chart, we have Mercury retrograde in the eighth house, the spooky eighth house, but full of intense renewal, conjunct the part of fortune, the USA part of fortune, which is like a in ancient astrology, we talked about that as a secondary moon. It's almost like a moon. It represents one's fortune. So this is extremely auspicious. Wow, packed with transformation. I'm just busting at the seams here. So I'm glad I wore loose clothing. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say now. I'm like, I'll take a breath. I'll breathe.
That is beautiful. I love, you are so good at like really sussing out the chart and seeing and making these connections. I really appreciate that in you. It's like, it's a skill that I don't have in terms of really having a historical knowledge, especially of the United States and the, I don't know if you use the Sibley chart or whatnot, but you just have a really good eye for how this translates for us collectively in the mundane fashion, which is really, really awesome. So thank you very much for what you,
sure. You bring to that. And how we can use that chart and like, wow, the transformation, I keep getting chills, there's goosebumps all over my legs of how this is really, you know, we hear about this term, the Great Reset, you know, like Klaus Schwab and all this. And I remember I recently was watching Eckhart Tolle talk to Russell Brand about this. And he said, oh, you know, there's all these various groups that are talking about the Great Reset. And he said, well, the Great Reset is coming, but it's not going to be in the way that some of these groups have planned. So I was like, yay. And I look at this chart and this nodal ingress and I'm like, wow.
Yes, right. Well, here it's so comes. What you say is so beautiful. And one of the things that I like to, especially with this ingress of Aries and the North Node, it's like this great reset is coming, and we all have to choose our part in it. Aries, choosing. You know, Aries is ruled by Mars, and there's two types of action. There's doing, which is the more masculine, then there's choosing, which is equally in action, but that's kind of more of the feminine, you could say interior form. It's like Venus and Aries or something. So it's not like some great dispensation from above is going to come save us, right? Which is kind of how that can be the victim mentality that's also very prevalent in our collective unconscious, you know, that Saturn's transit through Pisces, one of the things that it's doing is it's putting a contour on our victimization. It's really kind of creating, it's showing the edges. It's really kind of calcifying this victim mentality, and it's accentuating it in some cases. So with the Aries North Node, it's like, where are we choosing? What are we choosing? Being really aware of what we're choosing, the choices that we're making, are they in my highest good? Or are they really just kind of like automatically, am I assuming kind of, am I making South Node in Libra, you know, false complacency or false, like, am I behaving according to how I should be behaving, Libra South Node?
Right.
And trying to keep everything harmonious.
And the shoulds.
Really acceptable, exactly, the shoulds. Or am I really venturing into risking being vulnerable and despite the fear, choosing something different and just trying it out.
I never thought of that difference between doing, the Mars archetype of doing versus choosing, and how the choosing has that Venetian, Venusian aspect, that it's like there's an internal consideration before the action. That's huge.
Exactly. Isn't it? This is what I stress about the feminine mode of action, of volition. It's like choosing isn't, because the feminine is interiorizing, right? So even the Libra, which is the other sign of Virgo, of Venus, which is, you know, relationship. The only way to know relationship is to have some sort of sense of one's own self. How do I relate with something outside of me if I don't have a relationship with me inwardly? Otherwise, it's just kind of acquiescing or merging or being a chameleon and kind of like adapting to something, but there's no real me.
Right.
And we can
lose ourselves. That South Node of Libra is like, beware of losing yourself.
Yes, exactly. Being too adaptable to circumstances, but I'm not with me. I'm not choosing. I'm just defaulting. Exactly. So yeah, the choices that we make, that sets up karma. And the thing too is that if we don't, you know, stop and rest and receive the choices that we make, Taurus following Aries, we're going to just continue go. That's the wounded Chiron. It's like just keeping going because it feels like it doesn't have, it's like trying to self-substantiate, but it's wounded because it's not connected with its true nature, which is initiating. It's like if we don't choose from ourselves, from our center, it's default choosing or it's automatic. And we need to have that period of rest to integrate what I've chosen, to make informed decisions, Gemini, about how to next approach or what to do next. So I'm getting a little bit off topic here. I don't mean to, but it's the choosing part is equally powerful and needs to actually precede the doing in some way. And sometimes if we can contemplate the choices that we make and see what their ramifications are for ourselves and others, then we make more conscious choices. And that's what this accelerated period, it feels to me, of the nodes moving into Aries and Libra are going to, you know, stay conscious with what we're choosing. Really, really attend to that.
And the fact that Pluto is there, it's like the gatekeeper. And it's like, look, you know, we every 18.6 years, we have the nodes going into Aries and Libra. But this time it's like, you cannot go on like this anymore as a society. Everyone, okay, this is the planet, this is ninth, this is the USA. This is our society is hinges on us grasping this and making this unconscious conscious. It hinges, and there's no, you know, you don't mess around with Pluto.
Yeah,
you know, Pluto you is radioactive, you know. It's like it's like I remember Michael Bartlett once, he was talking about how Pluto works, and he said, you know, Pluto is radiation, right? So it's like, oh, you want to keep hanging on to those old stuck ways that are no longer sustainable. Pluto in retrograde in Capricorn, right? These, it's like, you want to hang on? Great. Well, you know what? We're going to take your hand, you know, it's a radioactive, your hand's going to fall off. You still gripping? Oh, okay. You know, it's relentless. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And if we're, yes. And we're holding it through the lens of love, then it's just, we might not like it, but we can appreciate, or we can have a relationship with, it's for my own development. And like you said, it's like Pluto it's squaring, so it's a choice point. Really, what we're choosing during this time is going to make the difference between like evolutionary streams. Those of us who continue along the road of polarization, Libra, South Node, and retrogressive evolutionary streams, and those who are bold enough to go into new territory where fear is going to be there. We cannot escape fear. It's fear is not the enemy. The enemy is the tucking our heads under and avoiding fear at all costs, making pleasure and things that are just simply nice and shiny on the surface, Libra South Node, what we are choosing, or, you know, going back to, like you say, some known false comfort versus the discomfort of the unknown, but the great rewards that these leaps will make. And the other individual, intrepid individuals who are choosing not the same thing, but are choosing in accordance with what is in their hearts to choose. And then this is going to bring together new relationships, new communities of people who want their sovereignty to self-substantiate with others who are doing the same. And that's how we find our new collaborations and partnerships and things of that nature.
And I love the fact too, what was really clear to me when I was, you know, sitting with all this earlier was, when you think about the South Node in Libra, okay, the evolutionary, the impulse is, look, we all know from many lives, you know, we're all grown-ups. We all know in our heart how to get along. We all know the polite, diplomatic way to create peace. And so we can take that South Node, you know, we all have our PhD, we are ingrained in us, in our DNA of how to be harmonious. And we want to lean into that and take that with Mars and the North Node. You don't clobber people, you don't shoot them, you don't spear them. You know, the evolutionary impulse is to be strong and brave, but not clobber. So we're taking the best of the South Node and we're saying, great, you know, be that, have that dialogue, bring people together, but don't make them wrong. Don't make somebody, look at our political, you know, climate. It's never been so polarized in history. And it's like, wow, we can actually reach across the table and say, you know what, I can respectfully disagree with you, but always with the respect instead of this, the anger that we've seen for so many years.
Exactly. And for me, it takes venturing into the North Node to really elevate the South Node, because the North Node, because it's a polarity, it's a continuation. They're both made of the same substrate. They're just different expressions of it. So they're intricately linked together, Aries and Libra. It's like the yin yang symbol, right? The black one has the white dot, and the, you know, that's the nature of life. That's the nature of relationship of all life. So when we exercise our true Aries clean, which is the North Node, it elevates the Libra. Then we have more of a true relationship with the South Node energy.
Yeah.
And then we're not just compromising, giving ourselves up. It's like then the laws and the social conventions of how to behave and what it looks like to be in relationship and create harmony, that's not first. It's two people together really discovering in this moment, what does it look like? Not some false sort of veneer of harmony that we're taught It's how do we discover it through exercising our freedom to choose on our own behalf, not at the expense of other. It's like when we invite the freedom to choose our own behalf and we become sovereign, then we want to relate with other people because it's not saying I'm deficient and I'm having to relate with someone to get my, to not have my deficiency be exposed. It's I am in me. I am more available because I feel my aliveness. And so I can relate with you more from a place of my own, again, self-substantiation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice.
Right. Well, we have a bunch of eclipses. Just already started in April, you know, with that 29 Libra eclipse. But we will have, our eclipses are going to show us these blind spots. Our next eclipses are in October. So,
yes. Yeah. Exactly.
See where, how is it, what's in the way of us realizing that?
Yeah. And for me, this nodal shift with Aries, I'm calling it just awakening fire. So it's awakening the fire in all of our charts because Aries is the first fire sign, right? So mm-hmm. activate yeah. your fire and don't concern yourself with who gets you or not. Just refine and offer your flame. That's the, and it just freely. Offer it. Don't, if people don't get it, how much can you not take it personally and just continue to do what's excites and enlivens you? So when the nodes move on July 17th into Aries and Libra, Mars, the dispositor or ruler of the North Node, will be at 4 Virgo, and Venus,
yes.
ruler of the South Node, will be at 28 Leo. With Mars, well,
Mars and Virgo. Conjunct yes. the midheaven of the USA. Just
right. to,
yeah. I mean, that's, look at that.
Yeah. And Pallas Athena is in the mix and she's huge with this whole thing. She's the androgyne. She contains, she is the goddess that is the most in relationship in her full expression, her harmonious expression with both her masculine and her feminine qualities.
Where is Pallas for this?
I didn't Pallas agree. Athena is at 3 degrees of
Virgo.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's, and I love when I think about Pallas, it's considered a dwarf planet, right? I think
no,
it's
she's an asteroid. She's an asteroid. Goddess.
Okay.
Yeah.
But don't ever underestimate it. And here's conjunct Mars in the 10th for the USA chart. Don't ever underestimate an asteroid, people.
That's right. For sure or not.
I got Mars with us and he's my big brother and he's going to tell you, don't ever underestimate.
Yes.
And I love when, you know, she's smart. She's the one, I think the symbol of West Point is the Pallas Athena helmet. If I think the West Point military.
Yes. Company.
Exactly. Yeah, and so it's being a warrior, but you're not this barbaric, you know, club wielding, angry, reactive. She's cool. She's calculated, and she's smart. And in that Virgo, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be very discerning. I'm going to really assess these things. I'm going to do what's necessary, but efficient. We're going to be efficient about this process. We're going to be discerning. We're going to look and break things down and really look at things, you know, in that very real grounded manner. That's just what comes up for me.
Yeah. And also she was never in battle herself. She was the strategist. So
right.
she was the one who all of the Jason, the Argonauts and Hercules, all of the major male heroes in Greek myths, they came to Pallas Athena for her wisdom and strategy. Because she could see the big picture, but she never actually fought herself.
So it's like the power behind the throne or the...
Yeah.
You know,
she's the social activist too, she manifests. But for me, her wisdom stream that she manifests, she's the goddess of the feminine path.
Mm.
So she's the... including our femininity in our path forward, not just the masculine... strategy, but it's a strategizing how, for me, to maintain a connection between our heart and our mind. Where is our heart involved in it as well? So with this ingress of the nodes, it's just after the new moon at 24 Cancer. And when the nodes are still at 0 degrees Taurus and Scorpio, just a few hours earlier. So with Mars, with the dispositors of the nodes, where they are, that helps to set the stage for the whole journey. That tells us additional information. So both Mars and Venus are evening stars, meaning they're at the latter half of their cycle with the sun, the heliacal cycle. So Venus is at the very end of her wholeness phase and starting the completion at the retrograde station, which just happens on July 22nd. Okay, so she's stationary and she's at the top of a yod with Pluto and Neptune, which is a whole other thing. So she's literally getting the business. And I have a feeling that this is a whole other topic. Maybe we can have another podcast around this, but her Venus and Leo cycle, for me, Black Moon Lilith is in Leo too. And so the new moon that happens in Leo next month will be between Black Moon Lilith and Venus. At Venus's, I think it's going to be Venus's heliacal rise. For me, one of the undercurrents or the shadow elements of the Venus and Leo, that the Venus and Leo cycle will expose, is narcissism. And one of the things for me around this Venus at the top of a yod at 28 degrees of Leo, right before she still in the Capricorn cycle at the end, is really kind of like drawing out these shadow tendencies with Pluto and Neptune at the bottom, the shadow tendencies of self-importance, of narcissism, of this, you know, where are we amplifying the solar feminine and goddess power and all this stuff, but we're not dealing with the contortions of it too. Where is it self-aggrandizing? Where is it self-centered versus centered in self, which is the highest expression of Leo, is centered in oneself and centered especially in love, Venus.
In the heart, yeah.
Heart in love, exactly. So it's forging this quincunx, this yod, which is a very, very uncomfortable expression, because it's like two planets that are in relationship at the base, forming two aspects that are the quincunx, which is the aspect of no relationship, but it's discomfort. Mm-hmm. And with these power players of Neptune and Pluto at the base, it's like transmuting, like exposing false realities, Neptune in Pisces, Pluto in Capricorn, like exposing the undercurrents and the underbellies of this contorted reality matrix, like you said, this great reset thing. Really, we have the opportunity to, in our hearts, get more access to the truth of what's really, really happening, both collectively and within our own psyche, where we are situated in the collective unconscious and mired in this power dynamic thing. Mm. So
I think of Roe Wade too, with all that and the and rights and the Venus South Node Venus being the ruler of the South Node in Libra, it's this loss of equality and loss of rights. And you're right, we have to look at the dark space, the fact that it's going retrograde right as all this is happening. I mean, this is such, I don't know about you, but this has got to be, in terms of that evolutionary potential, this has got to be like the biggest one of the year. And this is going to be resonating. I mean, we have almost a week, July 17th to the 22nd is going to be Pluto squaring the nodes at that 29th karmic degree. And then the sun joins in July, forming a grand cardinal square, July 21st and 22nd. And then of course it moves on, but that's huge. This is, I'm just so excited about this month.
Excellent. What it can bring. So Mars, the ruler of the North Node, is in Virgo, as we discussed, in the service phase of his cycle. So he starts the elder phase on July 22nd. So Venus and Mars are both, again, evening stars. She's in wholeness, about to start completion, station retrograde completion. Mars is at the end of his service phase, starting the elder phase. So for me, with these two dispositors there, ruling this nodal shift. So much of this new journey, a year and a half of the nodes going through Aries and Libra, is refining actions based in a deeper strata of our being. And again, with Pluto squaring the nodes too. And yes, developing continuity. Okay, which is interesting because Aries is really, there's no necessarily continuity with Aries, but right, in a sense there is. It's kind of like it's automatic. It can be an automatic just kind of going in one direction, but that can be unconscious. Consciously developing, because this is an elder Mars or service-oriented elder Mars ruling Aries, this is, what is the bigger picture, the longer term ramifications of my choice, of my actions? How are they benefiting others, but not excluding myself, right? Venus is still high and bright at the beginning of the nodal shift, but she's starting to come closer to Earth. She's going to be dimming. Mars is dim and dimming even further. He is receding further from Earth. So it's like they're both getting ready to start their new, Mars begins his new cycle with the sun in November. Venus begins her new cycle in August. So she's going first. But there's something about, and I'd love for the audience to just take, your listeners, to just take a moment to feel what it is to have Venus and Mars, the rulers of these nodes, in the us, we, them portion of their cycles. Awesome. As in service and elderhood and wholeness and completion. It's like really refining actions based in this deeper strata of our being informed by what we cannot see, but is always in support of us, and just developing the trust in that. So Mars and Virgo, discernment and being aware of taking on too much, like you said beautifully about Virgo before, to free ourselves from servitude.
Mm-hmm.
Putting in the work needed to attain deeper non-conceptual freedom, not freedom from, which is one way of freedom, but just freedom, the feeling of freedom in my body, Mars, Virgo, and tending to that freedom, right? One thing that I would say too is wherever Mars and Virgo is in the chart is to be careful of inflammation or gut issues, because that can be Virgo, right?
Oh my, so, and digestive, yeah. And
digestive issues, exactly. Mars is in a quincunx by sign with Aries that he rules. So again, the quincunx aspect is the aspect of no relationship. It's kind of like Christopher Ransom did a great piece on the yod recently. He talks about the ancient word. They didn't call it quincunx. They called it aversion. Planets in aversion.
Aversion, yeah.
Where they're not really seeing each other. They know the presence of the other one there, but there's a blind spot there. So it's not very comfortable.
And it requires adjustment.
Yes, exactly.
If I can just jump in. I think of this broken umbrella. I tell this to clients sometimes. It's all, like, you know, you have those cheap umbrellas from the dollar store, and eventually one of those spokes gets out of whack, and it's kind of at a weird angle. So that quincunx or aversion is at
That's a great example. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's, you got to be careful. You can't just take it for granted, because that thing can poke you. You know, it's raining and you're trying to get some shelter, and you got to make sure your eye doesn't get poked by that.
It's
a little stressful. So yeah, the quincunx is, it's not an easy aspect.
No, but it's workable. That's the thing too. It's like, so Mars and quincunx is asking us to put in effort, because Virgo is also working, choosing to work at something. And it's not, you know, drudgery unless we make it, but it's how much am I willing to again, be courageous and go against what I, just the known and being complacent and just kind of like, how long can I dig my head in the sand? How long am I holding on when the radiation is, right? So for putting in concerted conscious effort to understand and to understand, let alone embody personal freedom, okay? Venus in Leo is in sextile to the south node. So it's so much easier to be seduced by the past during this transit of the nodes, because the sextile isn't as harmonious. It's actually a Venusian relationship. They're right in conversation. So it's so much easier to get diverted to the past and known ways of doing Libra than it is to choose something unknown. So that's something to kind of maintain a perspective around.
Be mindful of that tendency to want to escape to that.
Exactly, exactly. If it's too easy, it might not be the path for you. There's an expression, I can't remember who came up with this, but if the path is easy, it's not your path. Right. Because evolution is not against us. It's just asking us to come more fully into our soul, the desire of our soul to come more fully into life. We are the vessels through which our life, our continuum as a being, wants to come more fully through our personality.
And I think too about sparks, like friction creates light.
Yes. Easy way
out is not, there's no light that comes from that.
Very good. Exactly. Exactly. So again, with Venus and Leo, we also have Black Moon Lilith, as I mentioned, in Leo here. And Venus begins her new cycle on August 13th. And Black Moon Lilith is very, very prominent there as well. So again, this theme of the shadow elements, the shadow feminine, and narcissism, and even manipulation, and where is true ownership of our life when not enough of our shadow has been met and loved and transmuted, become self-importance, some sort of expectation to be seen when we're not willing to see ourselves first. Because narcissism is basically, I have no relationship with my own light, so I need it reflected. I need to be validated from people outside of myself. Right. I need to be associated with important people who are involved in their light. And narcissists can really just sort of glom onto other people's light because they are not in relationship with their own. So that's something to just be cautious. And even though we're not all clinical narcissists, the archetype of narcissism does live within us somewhere, shape, or form. And that only means, not that we're bad people, but how much or how little am I in relationship with my own light?
Mm-hmm.
My own source of wisdom, intelligence, the sun, the solar nature. So
we value our own light.
Yeah. And then Juno is on Sirius, the fixed star Sirius.
Oh, wow.
Where the sun is in the US.
Sun is conjunct Sirius. Right.
Exactly. And so Juno, so much richness in her wisdom stream. But one of the things that, for me, her devotional aspect, and I'll just start with that, is devotion to what we have othered, devotion to union with what we have othered. And Sirius is the dog star. It was the primary, it's the brightest star in the Northern Hemisphere. I think it's also bright in the Southern Hemisphere. Some of my Australian clients can confirm that they actually can see Sirius, depending on maybe on their latitude or whatever. But Sirius is also known as the Isis star. Sirius is known in some esoteric circles as the central sun, the sun through which our sun revolves. And it has a lot of esoteric significance.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very much related to the Isis mysteries.
Initiation.
Exactly. So this polarizing nature of any extreme, the nodal axis, right? And the polarizing that Pluto is accentuating by being, you know, choosing what stream are we going to go down? Again, there's something about really tuning into, in our hearts, this devotion to what we have othered. If we use the energy of this polarizing and the discomfort of what this time is showing us around how much I've othered things because I haven't wanted to acknowledge the shadow element in me, how we can use that to devote ourselves, to light the spark, Aries, of devotion in us to what is unifying.
Can you repeat that the last words? It got cut out.
Unifying, yeah. So
unifying, okay, got it.
What is unifying? Not everything, that's not, you know, avoiding discrimination, because Virgo is discriminating. Mars and Virgo is discriminating, right?
Yes.
Not just taking everything in, but forming relationship with what's showing up in me that I'm bumping up against you that's not comfortable? And where am I just available to like lean into?
Got it.
Where I'm available now. And again, the discernment of Virgo is maybe it's not time now. And being self-honest, which is also a Virgo quality, choosing to be honest, that helps to form union. That helps to, it cuts the shadow. When we are transparent with what we're experiencing, when we confess to ourselves, just like share what's happening from where it's happening, it literally starts to open up the windows of the basement of the shadow. It starts to put a crack in the window so that some fresh air can come in. It cuts the shadow. It cuts the hold that the unconscious shadow, which is running us, whether we know it or not, most of the time, it cuts that and it allows more of our own life force to come back online.
Beautiful.
So I hope that was clear. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Really great. Yeah, this has been a really great talk. I'm wondering, is there anything else that you maybe want to share as we wrap things up? Any other insights? This has been so rich. I can't wait to go back and just sit with it. And
no, I love your enthusiasm. And I love that the interplay of, I'm just appreciating that you're bringing it home to the US chart as well. So there is just the theme of, again, like I said in the beginning, it was more like a activating your fire, activating your choices, and not be concerned with whether or not we are gotten by other people.
Mm.
The people that get us will get us. There's a beautiful example, actually, a client I sat with yesterday. She was asked to be part of a community of healers to present at some conference or something. And the woman who was the organizer sent her this like form to fill in. Tell me why on these different levels, why what you have to offer would be helpful or, you know, whatever. And the woman, my client, she said she got freaked out. She didn't know how to answer it. She just didn't know. So she was saying she was contemplating sending in a video of an example of how her work can be of benefit because she does sound healing. And that was going to be her response. That was what was manageable for her. That was her way of meeting the invitation, not conforming. Like she got freaked out. That was her initial response, which taught her, wow, I get overwhelmed in these situations. Great. That's a learning. But she didn't keep it there. She didn't say, you know, she considered not putting in her offering. But then she said, maybe if I do it this way,
mm-hmm.
which I know how to do, it still conveys and answers the question, but it's my way.
It's honoring her.
Honoring her. And this, I'm like, I got so excited and I kept referring back to that in the session because I'm like, this is using her creativity,
right?
Not something that somebody else told her. This is her emboldening and empowering herself to use her creativity to meet the request. This is one of the greatest discoveries that we can have in this cycle through this whole thing. Yes.
Well, and not that fitting into that person's boxes, but it's like, no, actually I'm not only am I not going to fit into those boxes, I'm going to create a whole new box. That's my creation. And then I'll share it with you.
Yeah. And if the person who was running the conference didn't get it, that's her loss.
Yeah.
And at least she was it's like the choice that she made to do it herself, to self in her own value, with her own values, with her own creativity, that would be satisfying in and of itself. Then whether or not it was received is secondary to, right. I did this, I chose this, I found a solution to something that initially was traumatizing in a sense. Yeah.
And that's the greatest gift of all. Whether or not she gets to the summit, it almost doesn't really even matter.
Exactly.
It's just what a beautiful opportunity. It was so cool.
Yeah.
It's good that it showed her that and she discovered that. this has been a great talk as ever, and we so appreciate you and your website address again, Andrea.
It's my
if
name.
I don't get it wrong.
No. It's okay. It's Andrea Michelle with two L's, Heckel, Haeckel. That's my maiden name. I know a lot of people know me as Andrea Michelle Kennedy. That's my married name. I haven't been married for a long time. So I'm just going back to my maiden name. So
cool. Yeah. Awesome. Until next time, please like, share, subscribe. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share what you're looking forward to and, you know, what's up for you and where is this powerful ingress landing in your chart. That's all for now. Okay, everybody. Many, many blessings to you on our journey together into the Aries nodal ingress, Aries Libra nodal ingress. And we will see you very soon. All right. Take care, everyone. This is Irliana Samsara and Andrea Michelle Heckel. And we are wishing you a namaste and many, many blessings. Thank you all for listening.